Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love fiction stories, whether in the form of TV shows or movies or books. Over the years, I have visited some wonderful places in my imagination, places like Narnia and Hogwarts and Green Gables, places where I have met characters who have become like friends to me. With recent technology, these fictional places and characters can seem more real, because for television shows and movies, the ability to make everything look so real is kind of beyond comprehension. And this ability is great for our entertainment, but it can really confuse things in our minds as to what's real and what isn't. The line between fiction and nonfiction can become so blurred that we no longer know what's true and what's real and what isn't. In the case of our faith and things related to our faith, this can become especially problematic because we've come to believe so many things that aren't actually based in Scripture, things that aren't based on God's character. For example, how many of you remember the show several years ago, Touched by an Angel? I enjoyed that show, and I watched it regularly. It had some wonderful stories in it. But its depiction of angels was not accurate. Right? Angels aren't humans. Angels don't transform into human bodies to come and minister to people on Earth. And humans certainly don't become angels when we die. In the Bible, angels are a different kind of creature than humans are. Like a horse is a different kind of creature than a human. A horse doesn't become a human after it dies. In the Bible, angels have multiple wings and multiple eyes and appear to be creatures that we would find more in science fiction novels and movies and things that we would probably think more of as extraterrestrial beings or even monsters. I mean, think about it. The first thing that an angel says every time they encounter a human in Scripture is, "Don't be afraid." The appearance of angels must be absolutely terrifying, right? So to be angelic isn't to be a beautiful glowing human with two feathery wings. To be angelic is actually to be quite scary. The point here is that we believe many things that we read or see on television or in the movies, instead of believing what we find in Scripture and what we know about God's character. Which brings us to the part of the Apostles' Creed that we are exploring today. Jesus descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. Nearly everything that many Christians believe about the afterlife, both heaven and hell, isn't based on Scripture, and it's certainly not based on the character of God. Instead, most of what Christians believe about the afterlife comes from movies and television shows and literature. In fact, the word hell doesn't even appear in any language until 725, 700 years after Jesus died. For 700 years from the time Jesus died until that word appeared, that word just wasn't even in anyone's vocabulary. And then later, the Latin word that is now translated as hell simply means the regions below or the lower places. Yes, the word hell does appear in English translations of the Bible, but when it does, it's not a good translation because hell isn't a biblical word, and it's not a biblical concept. This is why we no longer say in the creed that Jesus descended to hell. We say he descended to the dead. So let's look at some descriptions of hell, or the afterlife, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible, because those were the scriptures that Jesus knew and believed in. So if by hell we mean a place of torment and punishment after death, like many Christians think of it, there are zero descriptions of hell in the Old Testament. Zero. In the Old Testament, when someone dies, they go to Sheol. Sheol is the place of the dead where everyone goes to await the resurrection on the last day. We see this understanding in the Gospels. In John 11, Jesus is talking to Martha after Lazarus has died. And before Jesus raised Lazarus, Jesus said to Martha, "Do you believe in the resurrection?" And Martha says, "Yes, Lord, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Sheol was the place of the dead. It wasn't a place of torment or joy. It was just a place where everyone went when they died. The story we heard from 1 Samuel this morning of the medium from Endor summoning Samuel indicates that people in the Old Testament believed in Sheol, because that's where Samuel came from. So how do you think it is that we got from this Old Testament understanding of the afterlife, the belief that Jesus would have held because he was a very, very faithful Jew, to what we think nowadays? Well, I think there are several reasons that we got from one place to another. One, I think it's because of errors in translation, both of the Old and New Testaments. Two, I think it's because people take pieces of scripture and they take it out of context and make it mean something that it absolutely doesn't. We see this all the time with the book of Revelation. People have twisted that book to mean something that it does not mean at all. And then finally, I think we went from one understanding of the afterlife to this one because of fictional depictions that we have read in literature and seen in the movies and on TV. In 1320, an Italian poet named Dante wrote The Divine Comedy, which depicted hell as a place under the earth's surface with 9 levels of suffering, where sinners were bitten by snakes, tormented by beasts, showered with icy rain, and trapped in rivers of blood or flaming tombs. This story from 1320 is where we get most of our beliefs about hell from. Not from scripture, and certainly not from God's character. For centuries, horrifying images of an afterlife have been used to manipulate fear into people so that people will accept Jesus and be saved. But this tactic goes completely against scripture and completely against God's character. Because one, salvation is God's work, and God's work alone. Two, fear is not from God, and God never, ever manipulates fear into people to make them believe. And three, perfect love casts out all fear. So what does it mean when we say that Jesus descended to the dead? It means that Jesus was fully 100% completely human. It means that Jesus had a real death. It means that Jesus did what every single human does when they die. He descended to the dead. He went to the place where the dead go. And because Jesus went to the place where the dead go, it means that there is no place that is out of the reach of God's love. There is no place that God's love does not go before us. There is no place where God's love does not follow us there. Like the psalm proclaims for today, even in Sheol, even in the place of the dead, God is there. Brothers and sisters, this is what we know about the character of God, that God is love and God's love is relentless. God's love is completely unfazed by time and by space and even death. By going to the place of the dead, Jesus has claimed every single human experience, even death, with his love. Nothing, no thing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, not life. No thing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And in rising from the dead on that third day, Jesus has defeated death and has triumphed over it forever. So often we think and we feel that death has power over us, but in light of Jesus' resurrection, death has completely lost all its power. Death doesn't have the victory over us. Death doesn't have the last word over us. God's love has the victory, and God's love has the last word over us. Because God's love chases after us. God's love is absolutely relentless, and there is no place, no experience that is out of the reach of God's love. This is most certainly true. Amen.